All right. Now that you probably necessarily need to, but now's not the time to get out of fellowship. Make sure you're still in fellowship. As we seek to wrap up the doctrine of U.S. and prophecy here this morning, Roman numeral 22 . This point deals with the relationship of this doctrine to the rapture and tribulation. Yes, it is well with our soul. That looks forward to this coming event, the parousia, as it's often referred to. That will obviously provide for us all the maximum blessing that we have desired to attain to regard to our Christian life and getting us out of Satan's world in that respect. And there is a correlation between the rapture, as we've explained in the past, and the tribulation. And that is, the rapture is the key event that transitions from ending the church age dispensation and reverting back. In church age dispensation is parenthetical existence in history. Is designed simply to be temporary, to fill in a gap in Israel's history, in the age of Israel, and it will revert us back to the final 7 years of the age of Israel, known as the tribulational period. Is dealt with in the doctrine of Daniel's 70th week in the book of Daniel, where after the 69th week, there is a parenthetical insert and a gap. And then in the seventh week, the final 7 years of the prophecy in and of itself is fulfilled in regards to the appearance of the Antichrist and the return of Jesus Christ at the second advent. So the rapture, Christ returns, if you will, in two parts. The rapture, where he returns not all the way to terra firma, not to planet Earth, but simply to our upper atmosphere, whereas believers will, in their resurrection body, all believers from the day that was alive at the day of Pentecost, until that point in time, the dead first, as we know, and then those who remain alive will all receive instantaneously, if you will, in the twinkling of an eye, a new resurrection body, and we will all ascend together to meet Christ in the clouds. Obviously, at that point in time in our history, we are not confined to time. understand, the dimensional existence of God's creation transcends time and physical universe that we live in. And our resurrection body, obviously, is able to transcend that in that respect. And we will meet Christ in the air, and then we will have the what's called the Bema Seat ceremony, reward ceremony, where Christ will judge all of the believers' works during their period of time of existence on this planet and reward accordingly. And then we will, as we will review when we do the doctrine of rapture, we will then go with him and engage in a marriage ceremony in the third heaven. We are truly a unique and grace existence of era of believers, and that is that we are actually grafted into Israel in the form of royalty. I mean, to think about being the King and King and Lord of Lords bride, that is phenomenal. And that will occur during the 7 year period of all hell breaking loose on earth. And after that, we will have a great wedding supper that covers for 1,000 years. A great wedding feast. So, the rapture awaits the existence and evil of the United States. In other words, we've got to be in the proper mode, at the proper place in our spiritual dereliction. In apostasy, God has allotted a certain amount of time And he needs to bring in the last individual who's going to leave and who will obviously fulfill his plan phase two if they're so positive in regards to the church age dispensation. B, the U.S. fulfills the requirements of clinical Babylon as the doctrine itself has so documented. So C, Scripture also prophesies an apostasy that concludes the church age. What we are seeing going on in our society now truly epitomizes the death and depravity of sin nature activity as so prophesied in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, obviously, we look forward in the tribulational period and we recognize how perilous it's going to be during that time. But Paul is talking to the church. So, perilous times, by proxy, includes a period of the church age. So, we're getting to see some of that. And the peril comes about through the spiritual dereliction and apostasy that our nation corporally dives head first into. Letting their STAs basically run unbridled. And the first aspect of the sin nature that is brought out that manifests itself is the self-centeredness, selfishness of the human race in that regard. And verse 2, for men will be lovers of self. It's all about satiating one's own STA, see. A lot of people would be better off if that's just where they kept it at, but anyway. Men will be lovers of self, selfishness, self-centeredness, conceited, see. How many people are conceited out there in the world? They're all over the place. Lovers of money. That's what drives them. That's truly why they sacrifice. What they sacrifice in life is to gain more and more of it. Money obviously gives you an amount of freedom that you don't have otherwise, generally speaking. Counting freedom of doing the things that you might like to do. Boastful. Big WWF and that one. World Wrestling Federation, whatever they call that thing anymore. Always boasting how great they are. Every once in a while somebody genuflex before God. You know, the fundies. Arrogant. They know it all. We can tell an entire society what's best for them. See, that's arrogance. People are too stupid to make up their own decisions and to be able to know when to go to the hospital and when to stay home when they're sick. You know, revilers or blasphemers. To speak anti-truth with respect to what God's plan truly is. Monuments have obviously been big in regards to the activities going on as of late. The last one I saw, even though obviously it's a Fundy monument, I'm not sure which church it had, was a picture of Jesus with long hair. You know, we know that's Fundy. That someone had desecrated it, had decapitated it, you know. That's an overt sign of inner blasphemy of one's mental attitude. disobedient to parents. Might call it the indulgent generation. Obviously, kids have been disobedient, but this is on a large scale. You see it on TV, you see it in the programs. Parents trying to be friends to their kids, idiots. No wonder their kids turn out to be so rotten. Won't be a parent. Ungrateful. And never happy. Got to have more. Can't find inner peace and inner happiness within, because they're driven by their sin nature always. And what they get, often they think is owed to them. Unholy, obviously, anti-righteous. They've dedicated their lives to all things except Bible doctrine. Verse 3, literally, without natural affection. The depravity of the sin nature, the depths of evil that men will engage in doing harm to other human beings, things of this nature, that becomes even more exaggerated in application. Irreconcilable. You can't. We're commanded to make peace with all men to the degree as possible. And the Bible recognizes that some people you can't come to peace with. You can't come to an agreement. You can't change their minds. They're unrepentant. And when you run across those types, you don't return evil for evil. When opportunity arises, you return good for evil. And you just basically cut your ties and move on. That's all you can do. Malicious gossips as slanderers. Always talking evil about people. Without self-control, can't do anything in moderation. Can't eat just 10 hot dogs. They got to set the world's record, you know, 500 or whatever they do. How gross. We all know what hot dogs are made out of. Those raccoons in the great outdoors told us. If you ever watch that movie, it's a funny movie. John Candy, Dan Aykroyd. Oh, all the good actors are gone. Well, Dan's not gone, but you don't see him much. Brutal, again. Goes along with having no compassion, unloving, no natural affection for people. They don't care how it harms people. Brutality can come in many ways. It may be physical. It may be economical. The Antichrist, obviously, is an epitome of brutal. Haters of good. The good there is divine good. Again, this... That's one that, when I learned that under doctrine, the difference between human good and divine good. Man, that just clears so much in regards to your understanding of things that go on in this world as they are honored by God or not honored by God. Most believers, I say most, I'm probably not exaggerating at all in that regards. Most believers follow the human good practice in regards to this is what's acceptable before God. Being in fellowship, being in step with the dictates of Bible doctrine is not in their portfolio of application. It's just whatever they can go out and do, you know, the Mother Teresa's of this world, that type of an attitude. And it's human good. Of course, all this will work itself out if they're believers at the Bema Seat in and of itself. People put so much credit in regards to the accomplishments of one, what they do physically in their life, in regards to humanitarian aspects, etc. Whereas God puts the premium in regards to serving Him, being in fellowship, and maintaining and running our course in His inobscure way, generally speaking. There are those that He promotes and exalts. We know that. We have records of those. But most believers running the Christian life is simply staying intact in routine in regards to their NPR, being in Bible class, functioning under their spiritual gifts, maintaining their healthy prayer life, and all these things that goes in regards to bringing together everything. It's not being known greatly in regards to people around us. The book of Hebrews basically qualifies that for us. Those who have lived in caves, have been martyred by the cosmos and other idiots around them as people that this earth was not worthy of. See? So, you know, you may have friends that advance themselves in regards to their professions and become popular or whatever. And you can't worry about that. All that will come out of the bema seat, whether it's done in fellowship and whether it's according to God's divine directive in regards to their life. How much Bible class did they have to, you know, dismiss in order to go accomplish their goals? Are they the ones that held tight to Jesus' teaching in regards to right shepherd, right local church? See, that doctrine is greatly under attack, even among our own circles. Recognizing your pastor's voice. That is basically a revolving door. As long as the pastor is communicating, teaching doctrine verse by verse, they're okay. Man, they have missed so much. Haters of divine good. See. People don't think that's important. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not saying that people that may get off the straight and narrow and do things like that can't get their act together. But they got to make some changes. They got to recognize it. They got to repent sooner or later. Or else they're running around pursuing their STA in that area and grid of their life. Treacherous. Deceitful. Reckless. They're really good entertainers of the world. They're the most reckless kinds, as far as I'm concerned, man. You give me somebody trying to jump two cars doing 120 miles an hour, some karate expert, oh, yeah, I'll watch that. Yeah. I don't know if you ever remember seeing that. I saw him. That's incredible. It was that show. The karate expert. First thing he did, he jumped a Ferrari doing 60 miles an hour on his feet, ran at it head on, and he jumped it and cleared it. And he said, tune in next week. He's going to attempt two cars at 120 miles an hour. It's all in the time, and basically it's all of this time of the year for the cars to get underneath him. And next week, boy, I was glued. Bring it on. And boy, was I disappointed when they didn't have anything. And about a month later, Bonnet came back on, and the guy survived. But they showed the deal where he attempted the two cars, and he was practicing before that, and he said it didn't feel right, but he said still went ahead and pursued it, and the front car windshield hit his ankle, and it just basically crushed his ankle. It took him out of his karate field forever. You know. So now you know what kind of grit I got. Oh man, I wonder if I could do that. But then you know how chicken I am, because no. Reckless. See, test God. Let's test God today. You don't want to test God. Conceited. Dealt with that. Arrogant. The arrogant types. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They got to go out and be pursuing Funsville. All the other things, rather than maintaining their status quo, being in Bible class. You know, there's nothing wrong having a break here and there. We understand that. There's nothing wrong with fun in and of itself, as long as it doesn't interfere with your spiritual advance. lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They won't sacrifice. They got to have their relationships. They got to have their funds bill, whatever. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied His power, and avoid such men as these. Many of those who exemplify this type of activity are actually involved in religiosity, a form of godliness. But they do not rest upon the grace of God and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of Bible doctrine as their impetus, as their force to motivate them and drive them to do these things. They're driven by their STAs. STAs that generally believers will dismiss as being sinful. Certain things. Sin is all disobedience to God is sin. The Christians dismiss a certain aspect, you know, like approbation. And they don't look at it as being sin. Or you can think things but just don't say it or whatever, you know, the rationale might be. For among them are those who creep into households, verse 5, 6, and captivate silly women weighed down with sins, led on by various lusts. Used to be the Donahues of the world. Now it's about every Tom, Dick, and Harry and other lesbians that get on there and try to manipulate the entertainment system. The degenerates of the world. I don't know how she spells that, but anyway. And it is the weak-willed women that generally are impacted most negatively in this fashion. And if you don't have a strong right man often, and they're weak and palatable in regards to exercising their authority in their home, they'll fall for this stuff themselves, and it'll help drag them down. Always learn in verse 7, and never at all, truly, to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 10. Now as to the duration, that's the times, and the events of the epics. Brothers, you have no need of anything to be written to you, as Paul made it clear to the church at Thessalonica. No, the rapture is not happening now, even though people are trying to tell you that we're in the tribulation and all this other stuff that we dealt with going through the epistle. That there are certain sequence of events, prophecies that must come to fulfillment. Obviously, the doctrine of fig tree was primary and major in regards to that being fulfilled before the rapture and tribulation would appear. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is a technical phrase for the beginning of the Daniel 70th week, the tribulational period that takes you all the way into the millennium. That whole period of time is called the day of the Lord. And it's going to come like a thief. It's not like everybody's going to see it coming. It's going to sneak up on people, and they're going to be caught off guard. The majority of men and the majority of Christians. And while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. And so there will be an aspect in regards to this overwhelming cry from societies for people to protect them. From what? We're not told. We may be able to guess a little bit better today. Who knows? But when that's going on and it reaches a fervor of proclamation or exclamation by citizens, then bam, the day of the Lord comes in. The day of the Lord is set off by the rapture. That's what takes you in. But you, brothers, are not in darkness. Unbelievers obviously will be caught with their pants totally down on this one. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. It doesn't have to be that way. You can have your head straight on your shoulders in regards to the time in which you live. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Depicting the difference between attitudes and approaches to life between believers and unbelievers. As believers epitomize as darkness. We're believers. We shouldn't be that way. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Verse 6 designates one's spiritual disposition, one's spiritual demeanor, being spiritually asleep. That's when you're basically worthless to God when you're asleep. See? And we are, this isn't physical sobriety, this is spiritual sobriety. This is be completely aware of the history in front of you, according to the divine viewpoint. For those who sleep, verse 70, they're sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night, obviously personifying not only spiritual darkness, but running under one's STA unbridled, which creates that dark atmosphere. But since we are of the day, verse 8, let us be sober spiritually, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. The wrath there is associated with the day of the Lord. From the point of the rapture to the next 7 years that will occur, taking us into the millennial period. But for obtaining deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Obtaining deliverance, salvation means deliverance, is the rapture in and of itself. That is one of the perks that we are given by being part of the church age dispensation, a mystery doctrine, the rapture. Who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, that's the believer, whether they have their spiritual act together or not, does not mean that they won't get raptured. All believers will be raptured. Doesn't disqualify them. If you're spiritually dull or spiritually asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up on them, just as also you are doing. So, obviously, our references maybe to one another as we face our test, unique test today, is, God, it's got to be around the corner. A brief, instead of hello, Maranatha. What's happening? And that's our desire. Bring it on. We're getting there. D, in the United States, will be a positive remnant of people, the royal family. E, the evil of the U.S. will set up the apostasy of the Great Tribulation. It establishes the primary platform of operation, of ideology, and exercise. So, to finish the doctrine, Roman numeral 23, applications to the royal family in the United States, the United States of Babylon, as I like to call it. It's always fun when you're on vacation. Somebody says, you know how crazy it is? Well, that's what you get. You're living in Babylon. And their eyes come up. And sometimes it's kind of funny. Yeah, I can see that. A, the U.S. will not be destroyed before the rapture. All right. So we're going to be intact as a society. Doesn't mean that people may not be martyred out otherwise, but as a nation. B, look for constant increase in world and national evil. Don't have to look too hard today. C, the U.S. will still be a dominant economic power until or after. Well, how can he do that? Because we can print all the money we want. D, we're not going to be at war with communists or terrorists to win. It's all facade. It's all part of the program. E, the royal family will be delivered 3 years before the fifth cycle. 3 years, 1 month, to be more specific. F, avoid via grace provision the idolatry in the land. That is monetary reversionism. Don't let money drag you out of class. as well as all the other pitfalls of the sin nature that are being waved in front of us. G, the prescription, persisting gap, the grace apparatus for perception, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, even more so as the day approaches. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.